Well, good evening. This is the November 20th, 2005 meeting of the Pacifica National Board Elections Committee. And I believe we have a quorum. Our secretary is not here, so perhaps everyone can announce themselves. This is Carolyn Burden.
Carrie Goodman.
Rob Robinson from D.C.
Melinda Eiley Doan from KPFT Houston.
Patty Helfley.
Richard, are you there?
Yes, I was
Richard
just.
Richard Phelps.
Okay. Let people go first.
And Laverne Williams. Okay, well, she was on a minute ago. So.
Did we lose her?
People, mute is. A toggle, but it is #1 on and off again, so...
#1?
#1, mm-hmm. But if we're going to take a vote, we'll, you know, please come back online. Well, I sent around the agenda, and I guess I will read it again. Mary is not here. She'll be on her way. So... let me go through the agenda. Approval of the agenda, I allowed about 10 minutes for that. The next meeting date, proposing the third Sunday, December 18th. Approval of the minutes, I think we will not have those. Mary said she wouldn't have them ready yet. And two special orders at 6 p.m., 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacifica. John Seibel, president of True Ballot, would like to present a summary of what his company would offer to do to facilitate our elections next year. And I was proposing to allow 20 minutes for that, plus about 15 minutes for questions. And as a second special order, I was proposing as a first item of business, Terry Goodman's listserv proposal. Should I read that now, or shall I wait until we
wait
through? All right. And unfinished business, A, was bringing the motion from the Elections Committee report to the PNB, which is on November 28th, Monday night. And that is the motion number 9 that this committee passed on September 18th for unpaid record staff record keeping. And item B for unfinished business was working on the mission statement. Item C was the question of audits at each station, and I'm not sure whether that would amount to a new motion or not, but the question was some advice we'd gotten from experts about how to do the audit. We had an RFP for a database audit motion that we passed in August, and this relates to that. And then item D was an RFP for elections consultants. New business, item A, or one under that, was an invitation from Election Services Corporation, Stephen Walker, to meet at their East Coast office, which is on Long Island, and he invited me and anybody else from the area who would like to visit the office and talk with his staff on Thursday, December 8th. And that is sort of an open invitation. And that was, those were the only items that I had proposed. We have had several revisions to the mission statement sent to the group online, and I'm looking at several sets of those. And that was the only agenda items that I had listed. Anybody have any additions to the agenda?
No, but Ms. Chair, this is Rob Robinson. I'm going to have to leave around 9:15.
Oh. All right. Thanks for the warning. 9:15 Eastern?
Terry Goodman may have to leave around the same time.
Oh, all right. Good. Well, we'll talk quickly then, I guess.
Well, you can't leave unless you get us a replacement to keep the quorum. Just
quorum,
kidding.
Quorum persists. You just have tighter voting requirements.
Now, all right, any changes to this, or can we move to have the agenda approved?
Mary, yes.
Oh, hi, Mary, just in time. We're just approving the agenda.
Oh, that's good.
do you have any changes you wanted to make?
I don't think so. Let me take a look quick. I printed it, but I didn't have a chance to really read it. But it seemed fine. I looked it over. I didn't see any changes. Except maybe the mission statement. Well, all we're doing is forming a committee, according to this.
Well, that was the proposal. That was the motion. But then since that was written, we've had several statements, so we can discuss that when we get to that item.
Okay, yeah. I didn't want to try to have to do actual drafts tonight. I think that's too much. But anyway, okay.
All right, so are we approving with that objection?
Oh, could I find out who's here?
Yes. I'm here, of course, Terry Goodman, Patty Hensley, Melinda Eiley Doan, Richard Phelps, Rob Robinson, and LeVon Williams.
Okay, and you?
We have eight.
Okay, thank you.
And I have the meeting being called to order at about 5:19.
Great, Pacific. Thank you. Thanks, Terry. Okay.
All right, so the... first item of business, then, is the motion for an official PMB Elections Committee listserv. And, Terry, would you like to read that, or shall I?
Yeah, this basically suggests that this committee have an official listserv that it appoints the owner of, and that we make it publicly readable, so that Pacifica members can see what we're doing. In looking over the messages on the existing listserv, a lot of them were postings of the call-in number for our meetings. And so that couldn't happen on the public listserv to avoid problems, and so we would still have to maintain some private communications as well as the public list.
Yeah.
So specifically, should I read the motion that everybody has?
Yes, please, simply because we're being webcast, so
right.
We need to read it for the listeners.
All right, good idea.
So here is my motion. Whereas Article 6, Section 7 of the Foundation Bylaws states that all meetings of the Board of Directors and its committees shall be open to the members and to the public, with some specific exceptions. And whereas that article also states the board shall make reasonable efforts to broadcast or webcast all its public meetings and committee meetings, whether such meetings are in person or telephonic. But whereas the technology currently being employed limits our ability to incorporate public comment into PMB and PMB committee teleconference meetings, resolved that the PMB Elections Committee, to maximize the transparency of its governance activity, shall create an Internet listserv for committee use and configure it to be publicly readable. Further resolved, that the committee shall create an additional listserv open to public subscription and posts, to which committee files may be copied for public download and to which Pacifica members may post matters and documents which they believe deserve committee attention. And resolved, that these listservs shall be established within 30 days after the adoption of this resolution, that the list owner and moderator will be chosen by the committee annually and serve at the pleasure of the committee until replaced by simple majority vote, and that all PMB Elections Committee members will be encouraged to subscribe and to contribute, including through the reposting of messages previously sent by committee members to others on the committee.
All right. We're open for comments, then.
Mary Berg, you're just talking about creating one additional listserv, right? But when you say these listservs, I'm a little confused, because I thought all you were keeping the one we have and adding a public one, I thought, was the intent.
I'm
missing something. Am I just really stupid today, which I could be?
This proposes two lists. One in which the members of this committee will have posting privileges.
Like now, like the list we have now.
Right.
Excuse me for a minute, Terry. Did someone just come on the call?
Serene.
Serene.
Who?
Okay.
Serene. I'm sorry. Oh, Serene. Hi, Serene.
How do you mute on the system?
I don't know. That's a good question.
Pound 1.
Pound 1 is
good.
Thanks. Yes, go ahead, Terry. Sorry for the interruption.
Right. So this proposes making a publicly readable list that all the committee members are subscribed to, and that we post to, and so that the public can see what we're talking among ourselves about. It also proposes an additional list that the public can post to, that they can become members of the list with posting privileges. And because unless under the Yahoo list that we're using, and under some other alternatives, unless you are an actual subscriber with all the privileges, including poster privileges, you can't get to the file section in order to download things, and you don't have authority to upload things.
So you were talking about two new lists.
Two new lists. Well, the KPFK LSB has done the same thing.
But just wasn't clear reading.
We have
like
an actual list where the members are LSB members, and then we have a comments list that sort of emulates the public comment of meetings, because Pacifica members can subscribe, can post, and can upload and download files.
Okay.
Although the members of the LSB are not as strongly encouraged to be on that comments list, because if a quorum gets on that list, then that limits what they can discuss among subscribers.
Right.
Carolyn here. I'd like to put myself on the stack. Anyone else have any comments on this? Would like to make a stack here? Well, I have a couple of questions. One, I think that if we have an open list, which is open to the public, then the question of a quorum probably shouldn't arise, because that will be a public list. It will not be. The prohibition against private meetings has to do with the lack of public participation, does it not? So wouldn't matter how many LSB members, I should think, were on such a list if it were a public list and there were discussion of issues. Am I wrong about that?
I think you are, but there's different opinions. Richard may have an opinion as well. The California Attorney General has interpreted the open meeting requirements to prohibit serial meetings, which includes email communications, public or not, because they are meetings without notice. And so we're limited in what in business, and we cannot conduct business over email under the current interpretations. The extent to which that limits debate is subject to different interpretations.
Well, then, if I may, the first listserv would be for committee use, and it would be publicly readable, but we would be prohibited from discussing issues on that one as well, just as we are on our list now. So in the end, we would have three separate lists.
Yeah. That's what Terry, is that correct? You're proposing three lists. One we already have.
Yeah, we preserve the current list for sending committee confidential information like call-in numbers.
The existing one.
Yeah, then that would be three lists, one private and two public.
And then
with
one
different
of them
levels of public.
Is like read only, the public reads to it, reads what it's, but doesn't post to it, and the last one is like a discussion one, a regular listserv that anybody can be on.
Serena,
yes.
Is that right?
What's the point of having two of those? I don't get it.
Serena on the stack, please.
Serena? Mm-hmm. Richard and then Serena, go ahead.
That's all I want to say. I mean, why do we need two public ones?
Richard, Terry, you want to respond to that?
Right. If you want to allow everyone in Pacifica to participate on the list in discussion with list members, then you could do it with just a single public list. But most internet lists tend to be subject to spam and off-topic posts that divert the subscriber's attention. So what we did at KPFK was we had a list where the membership on the list was restricted to LSB members and officers in order to make sure that there was not much off-topic posting on that list and to consume the members' time.
And that is a second list, if I may?
The additional list to which the public is allowed to subscribe is mostly off-topic.
So KPFK, there were only two lists, not three.
Well, because
right.
they didn't have
That's
the
correct.
List.
All right. Serene?
I'm not sure that the... Well, on the issue of talking here about the public list, I'm like way over my email. It's like too much already. But we have the existing list. What exactly would be the purpose of the second committee member only list that would be significantly different from the comments list, as opposed to creating just one list, make it a public list, but have the files section accessible to all to read, but where only committee members can post.
Sure.
That way, in terms of access to the documents and so forth, anyone can have access to the documents. And I'm not sure that we necessarily need to make it a subscriber requirement, as opposed to simply having it to be completely open. This is the public list now, completely open to anyone to post. I mean, you can't control, even if someone subscribes, you can't control what they post. I mean, moderating such a list would be a horrible task.
Yes.
So just create one additional list where only committee members can post files, but where everyone can access those files and can post to their heart's content and, you know, urge people to remain on topic, but self-control being what it is, you know.
If we're not
going to post messages or use a list for our own communication, we could configure a list where only committee members could post files for download. But the issue is our committee conducting business outside of public view by having a private list? Since the public list, obviously, they're not even scheduling their meetings on.
What I want to know is what we would do in matters that would be something confidential that we needed to discuss. Because I don't want to breach an executive session with people being able to get a hold of materials that should not be for public dissemination. And we do deal with some things that are of that nature.
Well, yeah, that could either be with the currently existing list or simply by CCing all the committee members in an individual email.
Can I, point of information, please? I thought we would keep the existing list, which means anything confidential and all that stuff would still go on there just like it does.
Okay.
If there would be such a thing.
Okay.
And we're talking about whether adding one or two extra ones. And correct me if I'm wrong. Now I have the picture that one of those new lists would be for information only, like the public could read files, but they couldn't really post to it, so it wouldn't zoom off into Never Never Land. And then there'd be one other where everybody could post whatever they wanted. Have I got that right, finally? Is that
pretty
the
much.
Idea? Okay.
It's Carolyn here. I like the idea of a two lists, essentially, where listeners can read the file section. Can it be configured so that listeners can read but not post the file section? Is that possible? Terry, I don't know how... Under Yahoo Groups, for instance?
If you're talking files and not messages...
Mm-hmm. I didn't know that Yahoo... You could
It... You can't in Yahoo. You can't give them access to files without allowing them to post messages. I don't believe
you can in some other programs.
Yeah.
Well, maybe I misunderstood her question, but I think she's asking whether we can make a list where only a limited number of people can post files. And I know that's so because that's, in fact, exactly what Ms. Burden did with our elections list locally, where she's the only person with the power to post. So that is possible, so that committee members can post documents that they think are relevant for the general membership to have access to.
That's right. That's right.
But anyone can post messages. I don't see three listservs for one committee is a bit much. I'm on a lot of committees, and you know, it's like three. Why do we need three separate listservs for one committee? We have one now, where we share information that is restricted to the committee, and we can have a general one where people can access whatever documents they need to see that we're discussing or going to be discussing, and they can post whatever it is they'd like to post. But I think three is a bit much.
Anyone else have any thoughts on this?
Mary Gerd, here.
Excuse me?
Oh, I'll be on the staff.
Mary? Anybody else?
Okay. Well, I can see the point of it in that if we have a list that's open to the public, to simply, I mean, that anybody can post anything to, it becomes such that if there's a people out there that want information, they're not going to read it. They're going to not be part of it. Once it starts to get to the back and forth and all that stuff and the off-topic stuff, they just won't use it. And because I think we'd like to hear from people or have them, you know, they could email us with their opinions if they couldn't post it, but at least they'd be informed. We want to see that they... We want to get a body of people who is interested in seriously in this issue about the elections and be able to communicate with them or at least have them be on the same page. And unless you have a moderator that's just going to sit and moderate a free-for-all list so it won't be free-for-all, that's an awful lot of work every day if there's any kind of volume. That's the only reason I can think of. Now, I don't know, Terry, what reason, is that the reason you thought of, or is there a different one?
Point of information, please.
Yes, go ahead, Richard.
Have we had many requests for people wanting to be tuned into what we're doing, or is this an abstract discussion?
I've had two.
Two?
Two.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Oh, two.
I've had some requests, indirectly. Mm-hmm. In general, I have to say, I think it's a good idea. I like the idea of members being able to access the files. They're going to have to join and become members, of course, and they're going to have to probably have Yahoo accounts
in order to access the files.
Pardon?
It doesn't have to be a Yahoo list. I really...
That's a possibility. Can we look at the rest of the motion? 30 days, list owner and moderator chosen by the committee annually until replaced by simple majority, and encouraging all members to join. Those are three items remaining.
Mm-hmm.
Any comment on the 30 days?
No, it's fine with me.
I'm sorry, I have a question.
Yes.
Did we just agree on having now three lists for this committee?
Hey, it's Wendy.
Hi, Wendy. Well,
Wendy, well, before we discuss a deadline on doing something, should we agree on what it is we want to do?
Well, we haven't. This was proposed as a motion, and nobody has moved to divide it. So I was just going through the motion to see if
in the end we
could look at the entire motion as a whole. So I'm moving down to the last paragraph. And resolve that the listserv shall be established within 30 days.
Well, first let's decide, like she said, if we're going to do it. Then we'll worry about timing.
All right, you want to move to divide that motion then, Richard?
Well, I guess it's all part of one.
It's a three-part motion, it looks like. There's three...
We should pass a rule against complex motions. I think we should separate that out and just deal with the issue of are we going to add another list or two first. and then talk about how to implement it. I mean, that seems to be the appropriate way to move forward.
All right. There's a motion then to divide this motion essentially into two parts, everything except the last paragraph being the first part. Is that understood?
Mary Berg, here. No, I think the motion itself, there's three paragraphs to the motion. The whereases don't count. And the first resolve says, we'll create a list for committee use and configure it to be publicly readable. The second resolve is that the committee will create an additional service open to public subscription and posts. So the first resolve creates the list that's readable but not postable. And the second one creates an additional one that's both, and the third one is has particulars about when and how and all that.
All right.
So we would divide into three, would we not?
That seems sensible.
Sounds correct.
Hearing no objections, shall we vote on the first resolve, which is that the PNB Elections Committee, to maximize the transparency of its governance activity, shall create an internet listserv for committee use and configure it to be publicly readable.
Okay.
Are there any objections to that? All right, hearing none, then that passes.
Okay.
I'm sorry, this is Serena. I didn't realize I was muted. I still am not clear on what it is we're doing. Can we at least agree on how many lists we want and then be specific about how we want to configure the list?
Yeah, yes, that's what we're doing. We're doing this one by one, though. We're on the first resolve.
Serena, it's because of the way the thing is worded.
To configure it to be publicly readable. And did you want to vote against that, Serena?
No, I don't think I'm making myself clear. Why are we voting on... We know that it's useful to. I know that I don't think that all wisdom is contained, on this issue by members of this committee. So obviously, additional input is fine. But instead of deciding, okay, well, let's have a publicly readable listserv, and then let's have a publicly postable listserv.
Can I be on the stack?
Why don't we just agree on what we want the listserv to do, or listservs to do, decide on what we want done, and then decide how we're going to get it done.
Well, I thought we had been discussing that along.
There was no resolution.
Mary and then Richard.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Order. We've got what we have is we've divided the motion, and the motion that we have deals with one of those specific suggested listservs, so we can deal with that. If we want that, we vote it in, then we go to the next one. If we don't want that, we don't vote it in. Or we do.
Okay, I'm on the stack then after Richard. Is that it?
All
you went
right,
first?
Yeah. Go ahead.
Okay, Serena, I think what it is, what you say might be a reasonable way to do, except we've got these three different sections, so we just divided it into three for simplicity. The first one just says configure to be approved. Let's say, for example, we pass the first one. We're going to create a list for internet use, for committee use, configure it to be readable. Let's say that nobody wants the second list, so that gets defeated. Well, then we would go back, and it's publicly readable. Do we want to make it also postable, too? We can add conditions to it, but it's just simpler to take the things in the way they were presented than to start from scratch and make a whole new structure. That's why we're not doing it, agree on what we want first, because it just... They're not written that way.
Why can't we just discuss and amend?
Well, why don't we just take what's written and deal with it that way? It seems a lot easier to me than try to craft language of some different proposal when this is the proposal that's presented. We can just vote all this down if we want and then create a new one, but I think this is the proposal that was put to us, that Terry presented, and we have to deal with it one way or the other. So that's why I'm hoping we can just go through and do it. Am I making sense?
Yes, that's clear. Any more comments on this? Then let's look at the second paragraph. So the resolve that the committee shall...
This is Rob. I'd like to ask a question.
Yes, Rob.
Terry, are you proposing to do all this yourself?
Not exactly. I'm prepared to assist. I think the committee secretary should have ownership of a committee listserv.
And I'm willing to do that. I have different lists, so it's not really a problem for me.
I mean,
Go ahead, Rob.
It's my experience that you can barely get, you know, you can get very few people on most committees to do the work that needs to be done. So the more extraneous tasks we create, the more unlikely it is that we'll be able to do any of the bottom line things that we want the committee to do. So, I mean, I don't have any objection to people creating more work, but is it realistic that we're going to be able to do these things, these additional things, and do the work that we're supposed to perform to begin with?
I don't think it's that much work to...
Well, I think if the two people who are offering to do it are offering to do it, I'm not going to look at a gift horse in the mouth.
Sure.
If it turns out that it's too much for them, we'll know soon enough. Mary, would you like to read that second...
The second
Why are we point of order? Why are we reading the second? We should deal with the first one and vote it up or down.
Well, we did. We already did. We voted. There were no objections.
I didn't even hear you ask.
I did.
I'm sorry.
I don't think you asked clearly. I think you should ask
again.
Okay,
let's do that again.
I'm sorry. All right. That was Mary. Do you want to read it? And then
The first one. Resolved that the PNB Elections Committee, to maximize the transparency of its governance activities, shall create an internet listserv for committee use and configure it to be publicly readable.
Any discussion on that? We've already had some discussion. Are there any objections to it?
No.
I'd like to abstain.
Okay. So, there's no objections?
Hello?
Do I hear?
Hello?
Hello?
Have I heard that there were no objections?
No, but I'd like to abstain.
All right, then I guess we need to vote.
Okay. Well, let's see. Okay, yeah. TG? Sorry, I have initials here, so that's why I'm reading it like that.
Oh.
Terry?
Yes.
Patty?
Oh, yes.
Oh, my God. Well, here, Richard?
Yes.
Did you mention me?
No, I left you off. What?
Oh!
Who is
I'm
me?
Sorry,
Melinda Eiley Jones.
Melinda, I left you off. I'm sorry. My writing was... I'm so sorry. Melinda, you should have come before Richard.
I was about to say, I'm an I.
I know, but the best comes last. Listen, are you yes or no?
I'd say yes.
Okay. And then we have Rob Robinson.
Knock yourself out, yes.
Okay, LaVarne?
Yes.
Mr. Carolyn?
Yes.
I vote yes. Serene? Whoops. Is
Serene
muted?
Can you hear me?
And I can now, so how do you vote, yes or no?
Yes.
Oh, you abstain, you said.
No,
is
I changed
right?
my mind.
Okay. And so you're voting?
I'm voting yes.
Okay. And then Wendy?
Yes.
Okay, so it's unanimous. Okay. Okay,
right.
Now we go
to the second paragraph.
Okay.
And that
Carry
is,
on the stack.
Okay.
Resolved that the committee shall create an additional listserv open to public subscription and posts, to which committee files may be copied for public download and to which Pacifica members may post matters and documents which they believe deserve committee attention. Terry?
Yeah. The KPFK-LSB has a similarly configured list called KPFK-LSB_comments. And only two or three LSB members are subscribers who get who get those posts, but as moderator, there have been occasions where a member has uploaded a document that I have then distributed to the LSB on the official list because it was clearly appropriate, And there, I've also used that list as a method for the public to get minutes of our meetings and stuff. You know, I've posted things for the public to get when it was difficult for me to get access to the KPFK website for posting, for example. Specifically, a member of our program council had a big long proposal that he wanted distributed to the LSB, and he uploaded it to that list because he could not upload to the LSB list, and then I made it available to the LSB using that mechanism. So this additional list need not be a burden on committee members, in that only the committee members that wish to engage with the membership in some sort of dialogue need subscribe. There will be at least one member of this committee monitoring that list for anything that is necessary to be relayed to the committee.
Sounds very workable. Any other comments? Anyone else on the stack?
Mary Berg.
Mary?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have something similar for our program council and also for our LSB, but that, of course, is dependent on how everybody's website's configured. The way Terry describes it, that's a detail that's not as to how it would work. I can imagine doing it slightly differently and still conform to the language of that second paragraph here. Mm-hmm. So I'm saying if somebody disagreed with some particular about what Terry said, that wouldn't mean they had to vote against this paragraph, because there's some leeway in here for fine points of how you set it up.
Yes, I agree. I want to make a comment. I think this is really an excellent idea, and I have a feeling the members will appreciate it and use it a lot. So I'm definitely in favor of it.
Yeah.
May I get on the stack? I'm sorry. Is that
stack,
Serene?
Please. Yes.
Okay. Very soft voice. Yes. Go ahead, Serene.
Who's volunteering, by the way, to monitor this? Because if it's one thing folks in Pacifica love to do is post, so you may not know what you just signed up for. But
I do like three or four other listservs.
Like
now.
The Army, never volunteer.
Well, I'm not going to volunteer for the Army. That's but I did, because it's really, I don't foresee, if it got really onerous, I would then quit and say I can't do this. But I don't think it will, because lists I'm doing are fine.
Okay. In terms of the posting of files, is this option going to be open for everyone equally? And when we say subscribe, are we actually asking people to write in, request membership, identify themselves, which I know some lists do, you know, what's your name, what's your interest, what's your phone number? And if, in fact, we want to simply make the list open, then it should be open to everyone without
That's
their
right.
needing to subscribe and have someone else collecting information about them. The same way you're not required to provide information about yourself at a public board meeting, an LSB meeting. You shouldn't be required to provide contact information and so forth, as I know some list managers are prone to demand.
Right. Well, that's what I thought we were talking about. They don't have to subscribe. It's just open to them.
Well, it says open to public subscription and post as opposed to simply open. So I do think we need to be clear.
Can I give some information about? I had checked out that the Google has a listserv possibility that looks pretty good. I haven't used it, but I read about it, and it seems that you can make both posting and reading open to the public. They don't have to subscribe.
Okay. Well,
and
Yahoo
I was
does
thinking
that too,
to use
and
that.
I'm not really attached to one over the other.
Well,
I
think you
question,
can do
though.
That without having to subscribe and become a member.
Yeah, excuse me, before we.
Yeah,
that's Lose here. Someone else want to get on the stack?
Terry.
Terry? Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Is
that a go-ahead?
Yes, please. I'm sorry.
Okay. Yeah. If we pass the third part of the resolution, which designates a list owner that we can replace by simple majority vote, my intent would be to leave those kind of details to the list owner. As owner of the KPFK OSBE Comments list, I found that because there are robots...
Hi, this is Ted.
Hi,
Ted.
Ted.
Thank you.
Because there are internet robots that will automatically subscribe and gain full privileges on the types of accounts that I set up that list to, I've had to require posts from non-members to be moderated. So I do get several spam messages a day that I filter out, and an occasional post from a non-member of the non-subscriber of the group, which I then okay and allow to be posted because it is not spam. I was going to leave it up to the owner of the group to advise us of the policy that they're setting up and for us to tell them if we don't like that policy and kick them off and put someone else in there if they won't moderate the list that we want the way that we want them to do it.
That sounds good.
Matt,
all right. Any other
can I
comments?
Get on the stack?
Who, please?
Serene.
Serene, yes. It's very hard to hear you, Serene. If you could up the volume just a little bit, thank you. Go ahead.
I'm not sure that the most productive way to go about it is to tell someone, well, go ahead and set it up, and if we don't like it, we'll replace you. I think we can set certain guidelines, which is very specifically that if, in fact, we're getting a problem with spam, which is, you know, I mean, it happens, that we'll then change the policy, but that we start with a policy where it's open to everyone, where they don't have to go through the process of identifying themselves and providing a phone number for contact, and that we all agree that the listserv will not, in as much as it can be controlled, but that no one will be harvesting emails to use for partisan, you know, political
purposes.
I like
purposes, to be on the stack.
As has been, you know, to
John Seibel.
The case.
Excuse me one minute. Yes, I heard. Who wanted to get on the stack?
Melinda.
Melinda. All right. Yes, it is.
And Wendy, and someone named John just joined us.
John Seibel is going to be coming on. We had a special order to move to John Seibel from Trubelet at 9 o'clock.
Yay.
And I'm not sure of the protocol here. Can we agree to suspend this discussion or table it until 9:40?
Point of order.
Where we are.
Point of order, please. Was that Jerry?
It was two of us.
Point of order, Richard, Terry, and Mary.
If we have a consensus to move on this and get it over with, if we can't, then we should suspend it.
Let's vote, and I don't think anybody ever said anything about harvesting anybody's emails or making
Thank
them require
you.
A phone number. I mean, that's crazy.
It's actually done on a local listserv here by Ms. Burden, so I want to be sure that we're all clear about...
By Ms. Burden?
Yes.
Terry,
in order to join a listserv, you've got to send her your phone number. And possibly your address. I don't remember.
There's a point of order pending?
Yeah. A couple. I think I heard Ted also, but my point of order was I think Serene's brought up legitimate issues that would have to be brought forward as an amendment to the motion on the floor. And that means that if we do suspend this discussion and table this in order to hear Mr. Seibel, Serene would have some time in order to work out language of such an amendment. So I think that would be a good idea.
I disagree with that, and I'll tell you why. The reason is because I look at it this way. If you're going to be a member of the community, I'm not asking for information such as phone numbers or anything like that, but I think we ought to have the name of the person at the very least.
All right, Melinda, I think that since this is going to be a discussion and we did have a special order, I'm going to ask permission to table this until 9:40
and
pick up, and perhaps by that time, as Terry suggested, Serene will have a motion ready. And any objections to moving on?
Well, I just object to that procedure because I think what Serene's talking about is functionality, not whether we're going to do it or not.
Right.
And those kind of things can be dealt with later.
That comes in the third section.
And so you would like to do what, Richard?
Well, I don't know. If we want
to
do
call the question and move to a vote now, or
call the question on paragraph two,
and then we can do, you know, deal with the you know, the day-to-day functioning of it later.
All right. Are you calling the question on two then, Richard?
Yes, please.
All right,
let's
then, Mary,
get it over.
Would you like to take
am,
the vote?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. We have to vote on whether to call the question, correct?
Yes.
Well, is there any objection to it?
Yes.
Well, actually,
I think
you don't have to because we ran into a time limit mm-hmm. process. And when that happens, you
true.
Vote and go on.
That's true. We have to either, you know.
We ran into a automatic stopping point.
Well,
okay,
we
so you're not calling the question?
We're in the...
You don't. It gets called because of the time thing.
Right.
We
yes,
have to
I think we do have to hold off here. All right. Sorry about that. All right, I'd like to introduce John. John Seibel is from True Ballot, which, hello, which took care of our election last time, last year, and wanted to give a presentation to us this time. I think we've allotted about 20 minutes. John, are you still with us?
I am.
Good.
Hi.
And perhaps you can give us a little introduction and go right ahead.
Sure.
We have, perhaps you should know who's on the list first here. We have Mary Berg and Terry Goodman, Patty Heffley, Melinda Eilidon, Richard Phelps, Serene Roberts, Rob Robinson, Wendy Scholl, Ted Weisko, and LaVon Williams, and myself, of course.
Wow. Hello.
Okay. So you have an audience. Go right ahead.
I guess
I'm,
so.
I'm sorry. I hate to interrupt. May I just ask a quick question?
Sure. Can you let's
well, it's kind of
introduce
important.
Ourselves because John doesn't know our voices. Thank you.
Hi, this is Serene from New York. I was wondering whether anyone had sent the contact information to Julie, who's representing KPFK.
Oh yes, she has all that.
Okay.
She's on the list, and she had the contact
thank
information.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
This is Terry Goodman from KPFK, and I'll be disappearing during
oh.
part of your presentation, I'm afraid.
Oh, no. Are you going to disappear permanently tonight?
It depends on how late you go. I'll try to get back in after work.
Oh. Oh, gee. What time is that, roughly?
And Rob announced earlier, before you came on, too, that he had to leave around 9:15 as well, Mary, so maybe we should just move ahead.
Yeah,
John, do you want to get...
90 minutes from now, I'll try to get back in.
All right.
Well, rest assured you won't be hearing me. okay. Are you ready?
Yes, go ahead.
All right. Hi. Let me introduce myself. Some of you may have met me, and some of you probably haven't. My name is John Seibel. I'm the president of True Ballot. We are an election administration company based out of Bethesda, Maryland, just outside of Washington, D.C., and our business is running elections primarily for labor unions, but a good number of associations and other, we've run elections for all sorts of other organizations, including some religious organizations. My background is I'm an attorney. I've practiced for about 20 years. I'm not really in active practice anymore, although I still do try the odd case. And the other principal of the company, Nick Kamoutsias, is a software engineer, electrical engineer, software engineer, database guru. And the two of us have sort of sat at the head of the table and developed a number of election systems using all of the media that we can think of. So that includes paper, it includes direct electronic, it includes telephone, it includes internet. And we are the developers, so we understand the media inside and out. I have spoken with Carolyn, had one conversation with her regarding some of the questions and issues that came up from the last election. And what I wanted to do in terms of my discussion with you, since most of you have some sense of history, and is to do two things. First of all, try to get an idea of what the priorities are for you. And when I say that, my experience has shown me that for every medium has its own advantages and limitations, and that every election in terms of what you do is based on the priorities of the organization and what is really important to them. In assessing the needs of Pacifica last time around, it seemed to us that the three sort of top priorities of Pacifica were secrecy, transparency, and to a large extent also cost. And the secrecy and the transparency, I think, were pretty primary issues, and so thus the election that we did last time was based on those two principles. One of the things that that is really important in that regard, and in the way that we did the election last time, was that we didn't want anybody, not us, not anybody else, to be able to ever tell how somebody would vote it. So there are a couple of different ways you can run an election. One is as a trusted third party, where that person could figure out how somebody voted but doesn't disclose it, versus the way we did it, which was a true secret ballot, which means we don't know either. We could never know. In discussing this with Carolyn, it seemed to me that there were a couple of major questions looming in your minds regarding some of the things that occurred during the last election, how you could save some money on the next election, and there were some issues regarding the integrity of the voter list. Here's what I will tell you. There are two critical things involved in an election. The first is the integrity of the voter list, and the second is the integrity of the tabulation. Without those two things, you have nothing. Now, one of the things that I was not sure about, and in discussing with this with Carolyn, I sort of revisited it. Now I'm still not sure. Is what you all need with regard to your voter list. Normally, an election administration company such as us, we receive the list from the client, and when we get it, that list has the integrity. We don't generally receive something from a client without the client being sure that this is in fact the list of the voters. And that is one of the things that I got the impression was an issue last time for Pacifica. Although, you know, I don't know specifically about it. All I heard were little peeps and rumors here and there. You know, a comment here, a comment there. So, the second thing that I know that there were some issues regarding were the timing and the candidate booklet. And if you'd like for me to address those things, I would be very happy to. Let me start with confusion over the last election. I don't want to be pointing fingers at anybody, and I don't want to be looking down and placing blame anywhere, because I don't think that's particularly productive. But last time around, we had established exactly what was going to be happening and what was going to be sent out and what kind of a package. About, 10 days before the election packets were supposed to go out, a decision was made to print candidate booklets. And that basically, it came at a really inopportune time, given the fact that it was the end of October, right before a presidential election. And it made it very difficult to get a printer, to get it the kind of turnaround we would have liked, or the mailing house to be able to insert it in the kind of time frame that we wanted. And then Lastly, there was an issue with the post office where it took them about 13 days longer than it should have to deliver mail to San Francisco, California. Everywhere else, they did a pretty good job. San Francisco, it took them 23 days. Carolyn and I talked a little bit about what we would do next time around, and I think there are basically three things. One is to assist in your assessing the integrity of your voter list. Now, if that means deduping your voter list, doing address matching, and correction, that's one thing. If it is doing a longevity study to make sure that there isn't an unusual amount of activity going on with your voter list, that's something else that we can do. But there are a number of things that we can do in-house. And if we can't do them in-house, we certainly know where to get them done. What I'd like to know from you all is what specifically would you like to see in terms of improvement on the election next time around? What to you was not satisfactory last time around? Can somebody help me out?
I'm sure we can. Where's the tax start? We all want to be on it, I bet.
You'd be on
okay.
the list.
I want to be on it.
Mary, Richard, who else? Okay.
Somebody just shout a problem for me.
All right, Mary,
okay.
Go ahead, and then Richard. Mm-hmm.
Well, one problem was the fact, and I agree we're not going to point fingers or name who the people of why it happened. I don't care, but I think that your policy may be not to have a candidate booklet. We will be adamantly insisting.
Well, we don't
insisting.
Have a policy. We don't
we will
have
be
a policy.
Adamantly insisting, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, I'd bet money on it, that we will require a candidate booklet and that will be mailed with the ballot in first-class envelopes.
Yeah, let me
and
respond
with, you
to
know,
that.
That will be, you know, a given. I'm just predicting.
We don't.
Richard, do you disagree?
We don't make that policy. That's
okay.
Not, that's,
well, you asked what was unsatisfactory,
right.
And that was highly unsatisfactory.
I'm not going to disagree with you. I mean, from my perspective, it was one of those things where somebody told us, okay, we
mm-hmm.
need to do this right now.
I understand.
And we said, fine, we'll do the best we can, and got it out as quickly as could be done.
All right.
What's the next thing?
I
didn't get my ballot.
A lot of people didn't.
I want to continue with that thread, though, because you said 10 days before somebody told you to send the booklets. It had always been past practice at our local lab elections before and the first LSP election to send the booklets. So I want to know who made the decision not to.
Well, it wouldn't have been me.
Well, that was Kenny Mostyn. We know that.
Oh, no, we don't. No. Mary, let him answer, okay? I want to know, who started the whole thing out saying they weren't going to be sent? That's what I want to know.
I don't know. I wouldn't know.
Okay.
I mean, that's not, our role is to work out with the client exactly what is going out and what is going out
okay.
and when.
Let's go back to the beginning then. When you send a client, who are you talking about?
I was hired by Kenny Mostyn.
Okay. And when you first started talking to him, he said, this is what's going to be sent.
Correct.
And didn't mention a candidate booklet.
Correct.
It's okay.